We've been making our way through 1 Corinthians, jumping around here and there, and Paul's great letter to the early church. And we've been going slow through chapter 13. It's the one that we know so well, and so we thought it'd be well to go slowly through it and look at it a bit at a time, which we've been doing the last 2 weeks, and now we return to it for a third week, the concluding verses of that chapter. And believe it or not, we still have a little bit more to learn about love. So let's pray before we read. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word to bring change to our lives. You affect what you speak when your word is brought home to our hearts. May it be so this day. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 8. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide these three, and the greatest of these is love. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It happens in many houses like it happened in ours growing up. Every so often, my parents would back my brother and me up against the door frame in our house. It was in the den. And they would mark the growth, put a yardstick across our head and mark the growth and then measure how tall we were. And so there were all these marks on the door frame with different dates and our initials by them. And I was so proud of that. I mean, it was just so much fun to actually be able to see yourself grow. You know, the marks were a little and close together, but by the time I was 10 and 12 and 14, they were really stretching out. And I remember I was so proud when I passed my mother at 5'6" when I was about 12. And then I passed my dad. Maybe I was 15 or so, his 6 foot even. I passed him by. Oh, man, that felt so good. It's just a joy to be able to see yourself grow. But you know that season comes to a close, and then the other ways that we grow aren't quite so obvious as that, but there are those ways. And the schools, for example, are intent on measuring our growth in academic performance. They measure us with math tests and language tests and so on. And our PE teachers measure our growth with push-ups and timed runs and things like that. So our growth has lots of dimensions, which is also true of our Christian life. We grow in lots of different ways. We grow in our understanding of Scripture. We grow in our capacity to organize our beliefs into sensible ways of describing. And we grow in our capacities to serve, and on. There's a long list of ways that we grow as followers of Jesus. But at the top of that list is our growth in love. Paul's very plain that this is the prime indicator of Christian maturity. Are you grown up in Jesus? Well, if so, then you're grown up in love, because the two go together. It's not exactly the kind of growth you can mark on the doorpost, but it is the most important growth of all. And the Corinthians were not getting that. They had some other measures they were using to show growth. For example, they imagined that Christian maturity was all about knowing the deep mysteries of the faith. And they figured that only a few in their number would really be given the privilege of knowing those deep mysteries. It's kind of like one of those limited edition sales of whatever it may be. If there are only a few, then it's pretty significant to get one of those few. And it's important to have such things, and it makes you important. And that's how they saw these mysteries of the faith, entrusted by God only to the elite, which they saw themselves to be. And when they weren't competing in the mysteries of the faith, they were competing in the more dramatic gifts of the Spirit, like tongues and prophecy and so on. If you read chapters 12 and 14, you'll see that Paul's addressing some of the abuses that came with those gifts of the Spirit. And what they were forgetting is that gifts aren't accomplishments. It's not something you attain, it's something you receive. In a ministry moment, God gifts you to minister in a particular way. So it's no more a sign of spiritual maturity than being left-handed or red-headed. It's just given by God, and we receive. So that's part of what Paul's up to here in sticking chapter 13 in the midst of 12 and 14. He's correcting them about other things with regard to spiritual gifts. And most importantly, he says, the measure of maturity is not these gifts, but love itself. And it's in these verses that he details why that is. Why is it most important? Well, first he says, it's what lasts. In fact, Paul says, it never ends. Now, how many things in your life can you say that about? It's not many. And right at the top of the list is love. I mean, do you realize how short the shelf life is for so much of what we pursue in life? Like when we're in college, we want to be included in the right groups. We'll rush to be in a certain fraternity or sorority. And 10 years later, what difference did it make? We push hard to achieve the American dream. We want to attain this and that and have these privileges and places and so on. And we get those. And once we've got them, we kind of look around and say, well, that's fine. Is that all? There's this long list of things that we chase after in life. And we acquire things and we accomplish things. But the list of what lasts is very short in comparison. And Paul says at the top of the lasting list is love. That's what lasts. And then he uses the gifts of the Spirit as an example. Now you would think that gifts of the Spirit would have a long shelf life. But actually they don't, says Paul. They pass away. Instead, love is there, and its effects endure, and it even continues to multiply. And we have a really good picture of that in a long marriage. Over the years, a long marriage can become richer and richer and richer. But as you know, even as rich as married love can be, it comes to an earthly end when one spouse precedes the other in death. Not so with the love we know in Christ, the love given to us, the love given through us. That love lasts. It has no end. It stretches into eternity. That's why Paul says it is the most important indicator of Christian maturity. I moved a lot as a child, and so I had Sunday school teachers in lots of different churches. And you know, there's only one of all my Sunday school teachers, as earnest as they were in carrying out their duty, there's only one whose name I can remember. And that's Mr. Spicer. Mr. Spicer was my middle school Sunday school teacher. And I don't really remember what he taught us, but I remember that he loved us. I knew that. I knew he loved us. And at that age, those young teen years when it's hard to love yourself, hard even to like yourself, well, he loved us and liked us. He accepted us. He had us over for cookouts. He sought us out on Sunday mornings. I didn't think much about that at the time. I mean, I just thought, of course, he'd want to be with us. He was an aerospace engineer, and the church was in a city where our church was full of aerospace engineers. So I know where he would have preferred to be, hanging out with the engineers, talking shop. What fun that would be. But instead, he sought us out, hung out with us. That is the sort of love that Paul says lasts. The very fact that he is the only one whose name I can remember after all these years shows the impact of that kind of love. And thus Paul says it's the measure of Christian growth. And there's more. Paul says that love is the ultimate measure of Christian maturity because it also brings the other gifts of God to life. Now, God has all these gifts for us. They're all good. All the gifts of God are good. The truth of the Scripture is good. Our experience in worship is good. The privilege we have of sharing the good news of Jesus, that is a great good. Our service to the poor, they're all good. But when they're joined with love, it's like they're lifted to a whole nother level. They come to life. And when they're not, well, they can go in the opposite direction. That's what happened with Craig Barnes. Craig served as a pastor for years and now is president of a seminary. He actually grew up in the church. In fact, he grew up as son of the pastor. And as a boy, he and his friend Johnny Burke discovered that on communion Sundays, if they left the sanctuary quickly and went to the back room where communion was prepared, they could chow down on all of the leftover juice and bread before anyone else got in there. And they actually made a habit of this. They would scurry back there. Well, one Sunday, Craig got delayed by something, and Johnny got in there, and he had consumed all of the spoils by the time Craig got there. And so when Craig saw that it was all gone, he called to mind the scripture verse, kind of an odd verse to memorize, but he had memorized it out of 1 Corinthians 11, and so he made his pronouncement. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. For this cause many are weak and sickly. You know that verse out of 1 Corinthians 11 about misusing communion? Well, that's the one he quoted. And Johnny said, what does that mean? And Craig says, well, that means by midnight you will have come down with polio. So, later that evening, Mrs. Burke called Craig's father on the phone and reported that Johnny was in his room crying uncontrollably and asked if he would come over. So he did. And then when he got home, the damnation that Craig had prophesied upon Johnny actually came to roost on his own backside in a very tangible fashion. So, were Craig's words false? Well, he was quoting the Scripture, but he had separated the Scripture from love. Now, how often has that happened? I mean, think about the centuries of the church when the church has spoken the truth in a way separated from love. And instead of it being something that lifts life, it ends up crushing life like a hammer. Alas. And that's what had been happening in Corinth. And so Paul wanted to show them that unless these gifts God had given them were joined with love, they would be life-quenching, not life-giving. And they can, in fact, do great harm when they're not joined with love. But when love is joined with worship or evangelism or study of the Scripture or the gifts of the Spirit, they come to life. The life of Jesus, and people are blessed. What a privilege to bear these gifts and to do so in love. And Paul offers yet one more reason why love matters the most. Why it's the most important measure of Christian growth. And that is that it never stops. The growth possibilities in love go through the whole of your life. I mean, you know how this is. When you're 10 and 12 and 14, you're just growing so fast, the marks on the door frame are spread apart, and then they begin to narrow about the time you get to 15. By the time you're 16, for most of us, they've topped out. I mean, it's the same with standardized tests. At some point, you get your best score in your math test and your language test. You're the best you'll ever be in your whole life at those subjects. And you fall off from there. It's the same with your swim times or your batting average. We peak out. It's the same in our careers. There are only so many promotions in a career. You top out. And so people get to the place where they wonder what's next, what challenge is there, what mountain is there yet to climb. It's the same in our Christian lives. We continue to grow in our knowledge of God's truth and our capacity to serve. But central to all Christian growth is love. And growing in love never wears out. There's always a capacity to grow yet more. Paul uses the image of a child growing to be an adult. He says, us growing in love is as natural as a child growing to be an adult. He uses the image of a dull mirror. He says that growth is like a fuzzy image coming to clarity. Growth in love brings the Christian life to clarity. So as we mature in the Christian life, that which is childish comes to maturity. That which is fuzzy comes to clarity. And love is right at the center of the process, and it stretches the whole of our lives. I saw this play out in a pretty extraordinary way in the life of some friends, Dan and Jenny. As I served as their pastor in another church some years ago, and as I learned their life story, I learned that they had married young while still in college, and then he went on to study and become a doctor, and she was preparing to be a teacher and then taught and put him on through med school and so on. They launched in pursuit of their professional goals. They were doing well in all of these arenas of life, and as it is with all young couples, their love was stretched. It was tested during those early years. Their growth continued as they came on into their middle years. They became parents of three lovely daughters. Materially, they were quite comfortable, had a very nice home, faithful members of the church I served. They got to the ARP age, 55, when you start getting letters from ARP. And they'd pretty much attained all of their life goals. And they could easily have been asking, what's left? And that was also the time that Dan began to show signs of emphysema, which was particularly ironic because he was a doctor and he was so big on exercise and he had never smoked. He was a swimmer, faithful swimmer. But through some sort of genetic condition, he got emphysema and it advanced. And before too long, he was on an oxygen bottle, carrying that oxygen bottle around. And so their love entered a whole new season. Before, their love had been exercised in seasons when their capacities were growing, when their gifts were coming into fullness in lots of arenas of life. But now they were in a season when those capacities and how they were expressed were becoming limited by physical limitation. And the door frame marks that had topped out in so many areas of their lives, well, actually, there was still some room to grow, even in the season of physical decline. In the Lord's scheme of things, even in that latter season of life, the capacity to grow is never diminished. Actually, mysteriously, it's magnified. You can hit a growth spurt when other parts of life are limited in the arena of love. And that's why Paul describes love as the ultimate measure of growth. It is the main area of life where growth can be sustained all across our years until we go to be with Jesus. So, I don't see any 10-year-olds here. None of y'all are still marking the door frames, are you? But you're still growing. There's a lot of growing still to do. And the primary area of growth is in our love. The capacity to receive love from the Lord and pass it on to others. And these folks gathered with you are your partners in that. What a privilege. What a privilege to grow in the love of Jesus. Now let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gifts you give through Jesus. And most of all, we thank you for love. You've clothed us in new garments, a garment of new life. And Lord, when it comes to love, you put us in garments several sizes too big. We want to grow into it. We want to grow in love, our capacity to receive and to give to your glory and our joy. And we pray in your name, Lord of love. Amen.